Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guests come from Garfield Public Private. So we have with us today Steve Galbraith, the Chief Development Officer, and Ray Garfield, the Chairman of the company. So hello, gentlemen.
Hi. Afternoon.
Morning.
Yeah.
All right.
It's morning.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah.
So Garfield Public Private's the lead developer hired by the City Council for a proposed conference center in the 200 block of Capitol Avenue. In February, Council chose Garfield, and since then, the developer has been working on marketing and parking studies for the proposed project. Before we get into that, let's lay out the vision the city has shared with you for the site. The initial plan calls for a hotel, a conference center, and a parking garage in the location where the former News Tribune building was, and to replace the aging Madison Street garage. So realizing yet that the details are to be worked out, give us an idea of what the vision is as far as the size of the conference center, hotel, parking garage, and other features that might be included in the footprint.
Sure. Yeah. So we've been working on the market studies and the parking studies. Those are kind of the key ways to start looking at the site. The city had already picked the site. We think it's a great site. We love the site. We think the site's got a lot of great attributes, views. The views of the river are amazing. The views down Capitol are amazing. So one of the challenges I think we'll have is seeing how many of the rooms will be able to see the Capitol, for instance. I think there's a great opportunity for an amazing terrace there as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of ways that we can use the best parts of the site to see the best parts of Jefferson City. We like what you did with your old building. It's a dirt slope over there. So that's great. It's impressive. We appreciate you having us here in your house. So you start with the market study, and the market study really tells you what the third-party experts we brought in, CBRE Hotels, one of the known folks that do those studies all over the U.S. They come in and they'll help us kind of rationalize what the city's asking for. The city came in and said, hey, we'd like a hotel. Maybe it's 200 rooms. The study came back and said, this hotel should be 250 keys, not 200 keys. So 250 keys, guest rooms, a mix of king rooms and double queen rooms, suites, likely be a presidential suite. There will be a number of, we can call it the governor's suite if we want to, actually. I think probably more appropriate here to be the governor's suite. But, you know, a number of suites. Meeting space is really important here. So we see there being about 36,000 square feet of meeting space, a large 18,000 square foot ballroom that can accommodate 1,000 people on a gala. I think that's an important number, is to be able to do 1,000 people and then have breakout space. You know, we're already talking with folks that Diane's set us up with, Diane Gillespie from CVB, people who are setting up these conventions and these meetings, who are already giving us great feedback on how they'd like to be able to do a general session, and they'd like to be able to do a meal over here, and they'd like to do breakout space. So we'll be sitting down with a lot of their folks and figuring out how do we best lay out this space to make sure it accommodates everybody, or as many as we can, right? Yeah. Because that's the biggest issue with the market today is, you know, the Truman Hotel closed 10, 12 years ago. And we've seen the occupancy of Jefferson City drop continually since then, not just because of COVID. We've seen, you know, markedly the occupancy has dropped as the meeting space has aged. A number of folks and associations aren't coming to Jefferson City because it's just not appropriate space for them now. I think coming into the market with modern, safe, secure, beautiful new space is really going to bring what we call induced business, new business. And business is not coming here at all right now. It's going to come into the market. And some of our studies showed we're going to likely double the amount of group business that would come into this city by bringing this hotel. And it's not just coming to this hotel. We call it the tide that raises all ships. We see occupancy for the bulk of the hotels in the city getting a bump from bringing in all this group business. So
when you talk about the groups that would be attracted, I mean, obviously there are a variety of state associations, just a variety of different types of groups. But what size are we talking about? I mean, You're not looking at the Republican National Convention coming here, for instance.
No, I think so local groups, I think we'll see a 1,000-person gala event or charity dinners or breakfasts. And I think from an association multi-day event, 2-3 days, 500 people, 700 people, maybe you could do there. You'll be able to do a general session, house maybe a third of the people will stay at our hotel and the rest are going to be spread out all over the town. And that's really what you want. The job of this hotel isn't just to make money as this hotel. The job of this hotel is to bring in high impact business to the city. And so the way to do that is to build the meeting space that brings them here. And then they're going to stay where they want to stay. But we're going to get our share of the folks going to stay at our hotel. But there's going to be people staying at all the hotels.
So another piece of that is a parking garage. So
yes.
What's the size that we're looking at for that?
Parking's a huge concern for everybody, right? There is currently 434 leases, I think, in the current garage. That garage is about 600 spaces. Not all of them are usable. So 590 something are usable today, but it's an aging garage. It's not comfortable. It's low. It's not lighted well. It's time to get a new garage, right? So, right. But we need to take those 434 people who are likely monthly users. They're parking every day, Monday through Friday, probably, right? And take those people. And then we take the amount of parking we need for the hotel. We take the amount of parking we need for the meeting space, for the restaurant, the employees, take all of that and kind of figure it out. Now, there's two ways to look at it. One way is to look at what's the city requirements from code. That gives us one number. I think that's about 860 spaces. And then we take ULI, a guiding kind of development group who helps with things like shared parking, help you figure out the best thing you can do in a spot like this is do something like shared parking. There's office buildings all around, typically full from 8:30 to 5, and there's hotels that are typically full at night. Now, there are people that work late, and there's people who stay in the hotel all day. But really, in general, most of the people are kind of on those kinds of schedules. So you can take parking. You're not going to take half of it off, but you can reduce that 860 car garage to 790 cars. And that saves a lot of money because spaces, you know, if a garage costs $35,000 a space, and you just save 70 spaces, and you can do the math. It's a big number, right?
Yeah.
And so we're looking at about 790 spaces. A lot of people travel for work, or some people are off. So when you get an opportunity, when we publish the market study, and you'll be able to see it. You're going to see a great diagram. It's a heat map of parking usage, and so you'll see four colors on that map. One denotes 0 to 60% usage, which is probably like half the map. Yeah. So you'll see that in blue, you'll see 60 to 70% in another color, and so on and so on. And you'll see that the only parking that's really being used to its best is on street, almost 100%. Everywhere where there's a meter, it's probably almost 100%. There are so many private lots that aren't being used at all. And so one of the things that I think that we're going to be working with the city to help look at is, how do we accommodate some of this parking that's going around? Because people don't like to walk. Not everybody wants to park in this central garage and walk three blocks. Although I'm going to tell you, this project is as central as you could make it. Literally, it's in the center of the diagram. But I think we need to help the city figure out how they can best use all these other lots so that we're building the right size garage. So because those 434 people, honestly, that garage is only at 55% or 65% capacity. So in the peak times during legislation, in the heaviest days, that garage was only being used 65%. So you don't count on all those. You don't count on all 434 people being there at once. You could, but parking is expensive. So, and then when you look at a hotel, not everybody is renting a car like we do. A lot of people will take the shuttle bus. A lot of people are using rideshare. Some people will double up. If they're coming for an event, they're going to come two or three or four people in a car. We really see 500 people, maybe that's honestly 200 cars. We try to build the right amount of parking, but I think we're also going to have this buffer of all these other spaces that I think once we sit down with the city and figure out all these private owners, how to make those spots available to people parking. Now, parking apps are going to change kind of the world, because you have one app and you can park all over in the entire town, no matter who owns it, type in that code and boom. So I think you're going to see the parking really in the next couple of years really turn around here and make it a lot easier place to park.
My reticence to this, Steve, is, I mean, as we left the News Tribune, we were fortunate to have a parking space.
Yep.
And I did see your heat, at least one version of the heat map at the council last night.
Okay, great.
Which was blue, which right now is 100%, I'll tell you, it's 100% used. And part of my research was to talk to area lots as far as how they handle their parking. And a lot of them do sell spaces, but they don't really have the mechanism for that level. So I'm curious. Yep. And I guess I'd also add, at Madison Street, for instance, those are permits that are sold to for those spaces. Yep. So if I buy a permit because I work at Central Bank, I'm going to expect that space. So whether my car is there or not, it's taken.
Yep.
So are you suggesting that there may have to be a change in how the city handles parking, period?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's going to be a change. People like free parking, too. The world doesn't park for free. And so there's going to be some changes that are might be a bit hard for folks to live with. They might have to pay a little bit more for parking in the future. Things like parking apps, like you said, the permits, that'll cost something to have that spot always there for you. Some people want that. Somebody who's here almost all the time, they want to park in the same spot. They want to park next to the same car. It's a comfort thing. And people pay more for that all over the world.
Sure.
But I do think parking apps, people can't park in a private lot. If you only have 20 spaces, you're not going to have an attendant there making sure. It just doesn't work. And right. So that's what most of this is. These are open lots, private lots. They can't do it. The math doesn't work. But as soon as you come in and now have a parking app, it's as little as giving a code for that lot, spray painting on numbers on the there, and you go over to a spot and you type in your thing and boom, you get a receipt in your email. It's much easier to deal with, much easier. And you can really start to yield all that parking that's not being used.
All right. So let's get back to the market study. One element was you're talking about the 35,000 square feet of conference space.
36,000.
36,000. Sorry, didn't mean to short you.
Yep, sure. Yeah.
How does that compare to what exists now?
First off, it's going to be modern space.
Sure.
It's going to have all the technology that you need. It's going to have air conditioning that works properly, and it's going to be maintained. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to have new carpeting and nice FF&E, good furniture, et cetera. It's just going to have the basics, mm-hmm. right? From a scale standpoint, we've said before, we're not going after the Republican convention. We're not that kind of market. We're not going after multi-thousand group events. So I think we need to size it appropriately for not only the hotel rooms, but who we think are going to be the 90% market. There's some other markets that some groups that we just can't get, right? And that's fine, because we're going to get more than our share, but we need to make sure we have enough space that we can also keep our hotel room full and keep the other hotels around full. So sizing it with the 36,000 square feet, we think is going to give us kind of this, even maybe a little bit more than the sweet spot of conference space. Mm-hmm. So,
but again, I'll circle back. So how does that compare to what we currently have? What's the square footage of the space we currently have?
It's hard to say, because we don't really look at the two large meeting space hotels, because they're not serving the market. Association businesses won't come no matter how many spaces it is. It's just not being maintained. So we don't look at it and say that hotel has 42,000 square feet. We need to be bigger than that. We're not really concerned with that. And I think once this hotel is announced, the breaking ground, and everybody knows this is happening, you're going to see some things happen. The market is going to say, folks who own hotels that maybe haven't been taken care of, they're going to have a decision to make. Are we going to make an investment and bring this up and, you know, ride the train along with these other hotels, or are we going to sell and somebody else is going to come in and do that? We don't really concern ourselves with trying to compete with that space, because we know what needs to be built to bring in the market here. It's induced demand. It's not here right now. We're not trying to scavenge meetings from other hotels here. We're trying to bring in business. It's not even considering Jefferson City right now. That's the positive. That's what other hotel owners need to understand, is we're not coming in and saying they have a great conference, we're going to steal that conference. Yeah. That's not the point of this. It's we're going to bring in, and you'll see on one of those charts, there's 30,000 room nights right now. We're going to bring in an additional 28,000 room nights, almost double the group business. It's not here.
Yeah.
And they won't come. And it's going to continue to get worse.
My uncertainty here as I'm listening to this is, though, you can certainly make the case that some of the conference spaces age needs to be updated. wouldn't you have to know the size of the space?
We know what that all is. We do. I mean, and then the study talks about it all. We know we have every hotel. We have how many rooms it is. We know how many rooms are in service. We know how much meeting space they have, et cetera. We know all that. But I'm just saying we're not making our decisions based on what we think is the best thing for the hotel for what somebody did 50 years ago and hasn't maintained.
Yeah. And I get that. I'm just trying to ascertain as a resident. So are we talking about the same type of space, but it's same amount of space, just updated, cooler? Or are we talking about it's a step up in size that would attract?
I think you're going to attract larger groups. But again, I don't think that group, that 1,000 person group isn't doing it here. That 500 person group just isn't doing it here. You're seeing a lot of amateur athletics, I think, that are still doing it. They're a little bit more resilient when you're piling teenagers into a hotel. They can do that. When you're bringing directors of associations, they're not quite as forgiving.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, we absolutely there. And you'll see when you look at the report, you'll see it shows all the hotels in the market. It shows comparables. It shows all the meeting space. We know what all that is. I wasn't trying to say we weren't, but we're not making our decision on what is appropriate to build based on what's there, because honestly, some of that might not be there soon.
Right.
Yeah. Fair point. Sure.
So obviously the city has done a number of market studies through the different iterations of a conference center. You guys were involved in one of them many years ago with a previous iteration of a conference center. So how does this market study line up to those past ones? I mean, what's changed as far as, if anything, has changed about the market?
Well, Ray was involved looking at one maybe, 14 years ago, down on one of the lower sites.
14, 16 years ago, perhaps.
I think a number of things have changed. The Truman Hotel has closed down since then. I think a lot of the hotels in the market have not stayed where I think people thought they might. And you're starting to see people that I think that chart that we showed that showed occupancy just showed that occupancy is just bleeding off and will continue to. If I think that you don't build a hotel with new space that's appropriate, that can really bring in these groups, you'll just continue to see the groups continue to not come and not come. And at some point, even the amateur athletics will just kind of not, you know, if the air conditioning can't work in the space, you know, somebody was telling me a story this morning at our coffee where, you know, there just wasn't air conditioning on a warm day in November. Oh, wow. So those kind of things, you just got to have the basics, right? The meeting planners have to know that it's going to be taken care of. A lot of these meeting planners, they don't even want to talk to Diane until we break ground. Once we break ground, she's going to be so busy out going to the associations to say, we're breaking ground, we're under construction, and we will be open on X date. They'll start talking about booking meetings.
The market study itself took in a lot of information from not only from Diane, but from organizations that she directed us to, not us, but CBRE, hotels out of New York came in to do this. And there was some thought before we were ever hired, before they issued the request for proposals for a developer, to get an idea of the amount of meeting space that was necessary. You know, we could build a 50,000 square foot conference center. But then based on all the information we've been able to absorb, we'd really kind of be building the church for Easter Sunday.
Sure.
Right? So you don't build to attract 100% of the folks that could come here that you could achieve. You really build to attract about 80-85% of that, because it is a cost thing. It's just as the parking is $30,000-$35,000 a space, and you can make the arguments that you've made to us, and we look to optimize the parking space instead of spending $30, $35, $40 million to build a parking space. We're trying to build it for $25 million and satisfy great needs that we have, but also utilize some of the extra space within the city. I think the same thing goes with the meeting spaces. We're looking to optimize it and not to maximize it. What's happened in 16 or 17 years since the last attempt to do this conference center and hotel, as the world has moved on, it's gotten much more sophisticated. The spaces now from a technological standpoint are much more complex. This is a specialty that our organization has been doing now for 28 years around the country, working with the brightest minds in the design and engineering the spaces, as well as the best construction organizations you can find. That is the purpose. I mean, we really thought coming in here, we might be doing 175 rooms or 200 rooms. The market study said, no, the induced demand, if you build the right amount of meeting space here, the demand is going to be that you're going to need at least 250 rooms as a headquarters hotel.
Right.
To get the groups, to send the groups here, to get their most important members to be able to stay in the headquarters hotel, but they aren't commuting back and forth. They're there. It's much more of a science these days than it was before.
One thing that I'd mention about meeting space, it's not just about meeting rooms, ballrooms, boardrooms. Pre-function space becomes a very important piece. That, you know, the study calls out a number. It's a small number. That's really what you'd need if you just had a corridor alongside. But we don't want to do that. We want to have space that is great for cocktail receptions. When you have a conference and there's the rows of tables where people are doing kind of the expo piece, you want that to be in a great spot. And you want it to be in a place that people are going to visit. Very often, it's tucked in the worst conference room, and you have to go back there, and they drag you back there with free coffee, right? So putting it out in the beautiful pre-function space really makes it a spot for, hey, I'm going to go get a coffee, I'm going to mingle, I'm going to walk around and see that stuff. So we really try to maximize that. Same with the pool deck. Pool decks are not just to go swimming in. They're meant to be a fountain, great lighting for a great cocktail reception or a past hors d'oeuvre dinner for a group. We look for areas like that we can say, that's a great place to be able to sell out. That's a great place to be able to sell out. We look for all those pieces that Diane and the marketing folks from the hotel are going to sell all the spaces that they can have. So
let's talk about comparables as far as just hotel occupancy, because your study notes that hotel occupancy has declined in the capital city. Obviously, the man on the street would probably argue most of those central Missouri group meetings are either going to the lake or they're going to Columbia. What's been the hotel occupancy in those areas?
Let's start off with the hotel occupancy here. It's not every hotel. They don't do every hotel. There's six hotels in the study, I think. But the comparables aren't all comparable. Okay, let me explain. So there's a group called STR, Smith Travel Research, now owned CoStar, I think, but STR is the kind of the gold standard of metrics for hotels. And they require that you have five or six hotels in a comparable set so that they're not giving away kind of trade secrets for each hotel. You can't drill down to a hotel. So there are not six hotels in this market that would be anywhere near comparables for this hotel. Even the two leaders are not comparables. They're both select service hotels. They don't have a restaurant. They don't have large amount of meeting space. They have a great bar. They have nice rooms, but they're different kinds of construction. They're either light gauge steel or they're wood framed. They're three or four stories tall. They're not a concrete framed hotel rooms with appropriate STC ratings, which is a sound transmission rating, right? So we make our rooms quiet. You're not going to hear your neighbor's TV next door. You're going to have, we do things like we insulate the walls. We put extra layers of drywall. Anywhere where we put an outlet, we do what's called a putty pack. We surround the whole thing with this clay device that then makes it quiet. We don't do back-to-back boxes because that's where sound transmits. So those are the kinds of things that limited service hotels don't consider. They just don't do it because it's expensive. It costs too much. So even the hotels that are the leaders aren't really a comparable leader here. So we look, there's a couple of hotels that are leaders in the top. There's a couple of hotels, which is about half the study, about 400 rooms, are way down here. So that number that you saw in the middle is really the average. Maybe a couple of hotels are close to that, but there's a couple that are, I bet, 20 points higher. And there's some that are maybe 10 points lower. It's difficult to look at averages and say, well, that's what the occupancy of this city is, because it's not really a fair number when you're looking at the best ones are not even full service hotels. The bottom ones are just so old and aren't really holding their own. What you're talking about is kind of benchmarking, looking at similar hotels in a different market, but a similar market. And so when we look at that, when we look at costs, you'll see in the CBRE report when it's published that when they look at costs for labor, costs for utilities, insurance, all those kind of things that you pay for every year, they went to that kind of model and looked at maybe it's a hotel in Branson or it's a hotel in Kansas City or it's a hotel in St. Louis. So we look at that. And when we, so to come back to this hotel, we look at that occupancy of what we expect that hotel is going to be. And it's, we think it's in an appropriate line with those kind of similar hotels. So when we got this study, I think the study says there's absolutely an argument for building this hotel. We think this hotel, it's clearly going to have what we call the gap. There's clearly going to be a piece that we can go out and help find or sell bonds that will fund this piece of it, but there's going to be some sort of participation by the city.
So what I'm trying to get to, David, yep. is last night you were talking about, and earlier in the podcast, you were talking about how the occupancy rate in the city has declined after COVID.
It was before COVID. It was even before, even worse with COVID, but it was before COVID. Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is to see if that is something that is unique to Jefferson City, to Columbia, and the Lake.
Okay. I would expect no. I think it's here because they have new properties. They have properties that have been maintained, and I think they're holding their own. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I would suspect that they're kind of holding their own in those markets. Let's say only to Jefferson City is it had a limited amount of hotels with large meeting space. They lost one, and then a couple just are just kind of slowly kind of losing the market.
So when we talk about the physical footprint of the site, you say it's the right size. So I'm curious as far as elevation, because obviously elevation or even going lower would be options if you're constrained by the site. So at this point, realizing you're at the early stages of any design.
Sure.
What do you anticipate as far as the number of floors? If it would be just a grade level there at Capitol Avenue? What's your gut instinct?
So it's interesting. We had a lot of conversations about parking. The parking lot right now is kind of a half of a level below grade at one side. So there is some ability to kind of maybe push some of the parking in the back down a little bit, but it's rock and you're likely going to have to drill or blast that out, which I don't think is probably appropriate with the historic buildings around and the governor's mansion across the street. So I would suspect we're going to try to not go down in the ground if it's going to be tough. We have a great partner in our civil engineers locally here who will help guide us in those decisions and working with local contractors on what we think is going to be the best way to do that. But I suspect we're going to go up. So being able to come out over the alley maybe a bit, taking on your building, things like that are really going to help mitigate how high the parking garage becomes, because we're going to be able to spread out that footprint, which lowers the parking garage. You asked how many stories it is. So we always see these buildings, they typically have kind of two pieces. They have a podium and then they have a tower. And so in the podium, we'll see in this right now, I think initially we're looking at two levels of podium. Both are meeting space levels. So those spaces could be 24 feet floor to floor. Okay. So they're pretty tall because they have a ballroom on a level, a junior ballroom, I think on one level, and then the ballroom is up on the upper level. So if that's 48 feet, you can almost fit probably five levels of garage stacked in the back.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're looking at. Public space to the front, pre-function space, ballrooms, things like that, restaurant, check-in, all that stuff kind of in the front on Capitol. Parking kind of in the back. You'll be able to access parking from both sides, probably multiple entrances, because there's going to be folks that are the monthly lease folks that are in the office building across the street or down the street, and they just want to park their car and head back out. Other people are going to always stop in and grab a coffee at the coffee shop, or it'll be a great place to after work, meet somebody for a drink after work, and then be able to hop in your car. So we see that. That's a podium. So that's really about two stories tall. Then we're going to see the tower, guest rooms. That could be anywhere from six floors to seven to eight to nine floors. So we don't know exactly how many floors it's going to be right now. Obviously, we're working with the city looking at regulations of height that we're never going to get as tall as the Capitol. That's not a concern, but we want to be appropriate to the neighbors.
Sure.
The governor's mansion's right across the street. There's those beautiful brownstone buildings that are all associations right now across the street. There's historic building to the right. We want to be respectful of all those buildings. And so I think we'll look at how they all kind of work together. We talked to somebody this morning at the coffee, had a great question. One of the things that I know we'll look at is cutting a section through Capitol and really looking at how our building and the adjacent buildings kind of work together, because that's what you'll see really from the water side is how those buildings work together. So we want to be appropriate. We also want want to make sure that we're not just right on capital. So I think one of the things that we're looking at is having the podium piece is going to be kind of right on the sidewalk, but then we step the tower back. And what that can allow us to do is something that we did, Ray and I did in San Juan, in the San Juan Sheraton Convention Center Hotel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. We did on the pool deck level, we did hospitality suites, which I think is perfect for this market. The lobby, you know, you can have meetings, cocktail receptions, private events, 20, 30, 40 people, or meetings. You can have board meetings, things like that. So I think we're going to look at on that level, right above the podium, on Capitol, we can step the tower back by putting some patios there and then have hospitality suites on that side. And so I think it becomes a great opportunity for people to be able to not only make the building maybe a little more sensitive to the street, but it also gives you these great sight lines down Capitol and to see the Capitol itself and things like that. So we look at all those kind of things, but it's an important thing. We want to be sensitive that it feels good on the street to the person who's there, but it's an urban environment. So we know that it's not going to be a two-story tall hotel. It's going to be it's going to be a tower. So.
Yeah. Okay. So what are the next steps in the project?
You know, as we're wrapping up this market study and the parking study piece, we've already started designs. We're heavy into the design work. We're looking at comparable pieces. We're looking at types of construction and working with the contractor because they're going to start taking our design drawings and start giving us more input on, you know, if you're trying to accomplish this, let's do that. So we really want to work together with our contractors. McGowan Gordon is the contractor here from Missouri, DLR Architects from Kansas City, Facet Architects from here in Jefferson City, working with that team to really work towards this is the goal of the city and this is what we think the hotel is going to want to be, and then kind of designing that together. So one other piece that's got to kind of get added in is the brand. We want to talk with all the brands. Ray and I have great relationships with all the main brands. You saw it. It's likely going to be a Marriott product, a Hyatt product, a Hilton product, one of those that's really going to be able to help Diane and her team, the marketing here, route groups from, you know, the association groups from other hotels where they're at right now. Next steps will be, we'll continue our design, working on construction costs, construction schedules, making sure that the council is always kept up to speed. So I would expect in the next couple of months, we'll be back showing designs. I think it's going to be exciting stuff for the city to see because we'll have renderings and plans. I expect that'll be a long conversation.
So let's talk about price. Recognize that we're at the formative stages here. I mean, what's realistic?
I don't want to stick a number out there because there's three pieces to that puzzle, right? There's the cost of what it's going to cost. There's how much we think we can finance through other avenues. And then there's going to be the gap piece. And once we have a construction cost and a real handle on it, because throwing around a number that could be $10 or $15 million off is just, I don't want to get people stuck on a number. We're going to get to the cost in the next couple months. And then we're going to have a real idea about working with our bankers of what we think we can sell out, you know, on the open market. And then we'll start working with the city on what that gap piece is. So I'd say by the end of the year, we're going to know exactly probably what that number is. Probably maybe even in the late fall, we'll have a better idea about what that number is. I mean, people could look at hotels that have been built and try to throw a number out there, but this has got a very large garage. Garage pricing is kind of all over the map. So it depends on what kind you want. Do you want to do a precast garage? Do you want to do a cast in place garage? Some need more maintenance, but are cheaper. Some need less maintenance, but are more expensive. So yeah, I think we have a lot of decisions to make with the city about what's appropriate here. You do get snow, you do salt roads. So things like that, we need to make sure we have appropriate measures to make sure the garages are open and they get wet, especially when it's snowing. Hot tires melted and then they track it all in. Then it freezes during the day on the garage. And then cars drive and then track it down again. And then the garages are hard to maintain. And so we want to make sure we do a quality garage. So I'd say next couple months, we'll have a lot better idea about what costs are and what the cost to the city is going to be.
I think the thing that's disconcerting, though, is, I mean, the timeline for this, September or spring of 2027, right? We hope by the fall to have prices, right, of what we're looking at, then putting the financing together, that package, That seems like an awfully tight time model.
We've built hotels similar to this in maybe 18 to 20 months. And one thing, we're not going to take the garage that's there down until they're ready to build, because we're going to take the last minute, but we're going to have plans in place for where everybody's going to be able to park during the construction time. So could this hotel be built quicker than that? Possibly. But this is a pretty standard timeline for us. Once we get to the point, we know what we think it's going to cost. And the city said, okay, yes, we can afford that. We can do this. Then we've got about 10 months of design that has to be done. So we'll have the teams cranking away, doing design development, doing construction documents, and then the possibility of doing early packages to do things like take the garage down, start doing foundations, things like that. We feel pretty good about the 27 numbers. You know, one thing I think I read that we were a little late on our getting the market study. We said we'd do the market study during the spring. So we weren't saying we were going to finalize the market study and hand it off. And spring ended on the 21st of June. So we're pretty close. I think we feel pretty good about the timeline. And I'm going to tell you, this group, this city, the JC rep folks are all over this, and they're kind of arm in arm to get this thing done. And that's what you need to see a city do, is take the CVB, take groups like JC Rep. You need all those people to take this thing under. It can't just be a city council or a mayor that wants to do it, which, by the way, I think most of the city council is on board. And I think the mayor's a huge proponent of this. So, but taking all those folks and really pushing this thing, you know, it takes the village to get it done.
The fact is it's about twice as expensive, at least, to design and build a facility of this quality and service as it is to do a select service type of hotel. Mm-hmm. Hotel that doesn't have meeting space, hotel that doesn't have a full kitchen, that is built not as well material-wise, et cetera. At least twice that. And then you've got a market that we've seen has a certain expectation for occupancy and rate. And we may be building the best facility within the marketplace. That doesn't mean that we're expecting to get twice the occupancy or twice the average daily rate for the rooms in this hotel. That's nowhere. No market does it work that way. We think there's a bump. We'll think we'll have the finest project in the marketplace. It will have the highest average daily rate of any of the hotels. And that should be a positive sign for all the other hotels here, because they'll be able to boost their rates as well.
It gives them the room to have a little bit of a bump, yeah.
But we see this from city to city where we've developed over the last almost 30 years, is that this asset, which is sort of a generational asset for a community, look at it for the next 30, 40 years as the convention space, the headquarters hotel, is a more expensive project. So it becomes, in the modern vernacular, a public-private partnership. If the expectation was that a private developer would come in here and be enticed to build a privately owned hotel, the private developer would have to ask the city, and it's a state capital, perhaps the state, to chip in substantially as a subsidy for that private owner. And if you look at mature projects around the country, older hotels that are in private hands, they're not well maintained, and they fall off of the chart of attractive places that can optimize the production of tourism and meetings in the community. We've had a market plan for the last almost 30 years, basically modern not-for-profit ownership for the hotel for the benefit of the city itself. And so that subsidy that a private developer would ask for then translates into a true investment for the city and for the taxpayers into this one hotel for the next generation, which will attract all of these meetings and for the community. It really is a different model that we promote. It involves everyone's participation. We have seen in previous years before COVID inflation, which we all know what that's been like for the last 3 years almost, the highest inflation rates we've seen in my lifetime. And then the Fed having raised interest rates to right now at least not the highest I've ever seen in my lifetime, because that was back in the 70s or 80s, whenever that was. But over the last 10 to 15 years, the highest interest rates that we've seen. That's more expensive as well when you're looking at amortizing a mortgage at a 6% rate instead of a 4% rate. And you're looking at spending an extra $50,000 or $100,000 a room on a hotel that you could do 4 years ago, you know, before all this inflation. So I think what Steve has said, we're hesitant to throw out numbers, But I think we have an idea that for a Marriott or a Hyatt or a Hilton hotel in this downtown location with an 800-car, size garage, it's going to be a large number. We're going to be seeking not only the involvement of traditional mainline big bond buyers on Wall Street that will buy the mortgages on this hotel. We'll look to see what the net operating income of the hotel should be each year. And that's by these third-party managers and by the brand itself. Say, here's what we can get in room rate. Here's what it costs to operate the hotel. Here's sort of the net production. And that net production can amortize this amount of debt.
Okay.
And that debt may be maybe half of the hotel cost. It may be 60% of the hotel cost, maybe 40. But that's what we'll work out in the next few months to come. Then there's a great collaboration between the municipality, its financial advisors, its bond counsel, its chief financial officer, and hopefully outreach to the state and to the legislatures and the government, the governor, to see what this community truly needs in this asset and to see how creative they can be. In Texas, for example, the state 25 years ago started a legislative process for the city of Houston so that Houston could build a headquarters hotel for its Brown Convention Center downtown before a Super Bowl. It was taking place, I think, in 2002 or something. And so they passed the first piece of legislation in Texas at that time just for Houston to say, if Houston builds this hotel to act as a headquarters hotel for the convention center, we, the state, will rebate to the city all of our receipts of hotel occupancy tax and all of our receipts of sales tax for the development in this area for the next 10 years. Okay. So the city could see getting reimbursed a substantial amount of money for a 10-year period that would help the city justify its investment in this particular hotel. Since that time, there are now 65 cities in the state of Texas that have been put on this list of qualified hotels. Nearly all of them have not adopted a program to build a hotel, but probably 15 or 20 cities have so far of that 65. So I know in Missouri, the state doesn't collect hotel occupancy tax. They do collect sales tax. But, you know, the argument will be what methodologies are there to see how we can support the city and how the cities can support, you know, a collaboration to build its modern convention center, conference center, if you will, here, and in the appropriate branded hotel that will attract all of this new induced demand that this market study shows that can come here. The challenge, I worry about the financing more than the design.
He's
an architect.
I think some of the things that I think are concerns that, that people have are, you know, the rest, you know, I think restaurant owners are concerned about what kind of restaurant or what bar are we doing. We always want to do, F&B is very important to us, food and beverage. And we like the restaurant to be of the place, just like our hotels. We want our hotel to be of the place. We want the restaurants to be of the place. So, you know, we got some great input, the coffee this morning, about what restaurants that we don't need any more of. So apparently we might not be doing a pizza place. But for instance, if you have 15 steakhouses, we're not going to build a steakhouse. So we want to make sure that this is complementary to what's here. And we want it to be of the place. It's going to have exterior entrance. It'll have its own identity. We want all of you guys coming and eating in the restaurant. Same with the bar. We want the bar and lounge to have life. We want it to have personality. We want it to be a place for people to go have a cocktail after work with colleagues. We want people to celebrate wedding anniversaries. We want it to be here for Jefferson City. So the part of this hotel that folks that live in Jefferson City, most of the people who stay in the hotel are going to be guests of the city. They're not going to live here. But I do think that there'll be gala events. There will be all kinds of charity events, weddings and parties and such, people coming to go enjoy the restaurant and the bar. I think you'll see a lot of that. So I think those are a couple of pieces that I think people that live in this town will be able to share in those. Obviously, we'd love to see people do staycations and things like that, because I think it's going to have a spectacular pool deck. But really, that's not kind of the core business of this hotel. I think art is very important to this town. Central Bank has an amazing art collection. I think the Capitol has an amazing art collection. So I think we're going to really look and talk to folks about what is important, what does art mean here, because art's very important to us as well. And so we always have a very thoughtful art package in this hotel, not just in the guest rooms, but in the public space. And we typically put together a almost a manual that the staff could take people on a tour and explain, what's the meaning of that piece of art? Why is it like that? Why did you do nautical images here? Why did you do this here? And so, we'll literally have a piece, a book that'll kind of explain what all the art is and why it was important. So I think those are a couple pieces that I think people that live here could enjoy walking around looking at the art, because art's also a really important piece to us.
So if you look at your portfolio, help folks kind of get an idea of what, comparing apples to apples, what would be a comparable type of development that you have created that would be similar to, at this point, what your vision for this site would be?
So one of Ray's favorites is our Hyatt Regency in Baytown, Texas. It's been open for just about a year now. Got a little bit of damage because of the hurricane, so I'm going down there tomorrow to go look at that. But it's a 200-room Hyatt Regency. It's got maybe about 22,000 square feet of meeting space, a little bit smaller than this hotel, but a really thoughtful design, beautiful place, amazing art that's of the place. It's right on the water, right on the Gulf and basically the ship channel. It's in a very industrial part of the ship channel. There's pump jacks pumping oil over here. There's huge cargo ships coming through. It's a spectacular place because the people that are there are in the business of oil and in the business of industry. And so it's not the quiet resort town that you're going to, but it's a great place. They'll still sit out and have a cocktail out on the patio and see all these big ships coming in, and that's great. One of my favorites is the DoubleTree by Hilton that we just opened about a year ago in Abilene, Texas. About 200 keys, a little bit less meeting space, but very similar to, it's not the Capitol. So I think that's a big deal that this is the Capitol here. But Abilene, I think, is a very similar town to Jefferson City from what their needs were. So I think the strength here is the legislature. I think we're probably even underlooking at what that need is going to be. I think we're being conservative in saying what that use is going to be, because I think it's going to be very popular with the lobbyists and the business of the Capitol.
You know, in Abilene, there was tremendous demand for this particular new asset. It's the first full service hotel developed in the city in 50 years.
Similar to here.
And now it has four universities, got an Air Force base. Never seen as much support from a chamber of commerce or for Visit Abilene of any community we've ever built for.
Right, probably until we came here.
Until we came here, exactly. But we were able, with the collaboration of the city, to raise $17 million in foundation grants to the city specifically to build this hotel and conference center. Okay. $17 million that eliminated a third mortgage for the hotel and supercharged the ability of the city to collect cash flow from the production of the hotel over the next 30 years. And then, of course, it owns the hotel when the mortgage is fully paid. Similarly, in Lubbock, Texas, next to Texas Tech, and for Texas Tech and for the city of Lubbock, we were able to develop their first full-service hotel and conference center. And the collaboration with the university that has one of the best hotel restaurant majors programs of a college in the country, we were able to get two foundations to put in $11 million specifically for this hotel and conference center to be done. And that mitigated the responsibility of the city or the university to make $11 million in additional investment in the property. Where in Abilene, mitigated the city from having to backstop a third mortgage of $17 million. So we've talked about that. I don't know whether that's possible in Jefferson City, but we also are well known for developing performing arts centers and arenas and event centers. And those products are more apt to raise corporate investment, naming rights, pouring rights for the beverage companies, Coors versus Budweiser or Coke versus Pepsi, but really selling naming rights for the building, for ballrooms, for pavilions, arenas. Those are additional private investment in the public-private niche that, that we work in all the time. So it'll be interesting to see how we are able to expand that within Jefferson City to help in getting a project of this quality and size done.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to the next steps.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.